Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our ever-living Savior, whom we proclaim to a spiritually dead world, dear fellow redeemed, question for you. What is the second law of thermodynamics, which is the greater the heat, the greater the expansion? What does that second law have to do with our sermon series this summer, The Witness of the Holy Spirit? Well, the answer, it aptly describes the way the gospel expanded from the city of Jerusalem. Just before our Savior ascended into heaven, he told his disciples, "You shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." But only phase one of that great commission was being accomplished. The word of God was being spread throughout Jerusalem. But with the martyrdom, stoning to death of Stephen, and the subsequent persecution of the Christians, many Christians now fled the city of Jerusalem. And when they fled, they took with them the gospel message of the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. So, God allowed Satan to turn up the heat in persecution, and that in turn then expanded the gospel from the city of Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. The Christians were content to stay in Jerusalem until the heat got too hot. What an amazing display of God's power and control, not only over history, but over his church. Satan's devious plan was to destroy, to crush, to wipe out Christianity, and wipe out the spread of the gospel. But in so doing, by God's grace and power, all it did was spread it all the more. We read in Acts 8:4, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They did just as Jesus foretold and commanded." They spread that gospel out of Jerusalem into Judea, into Samaria, and ultimately to the ends of the earth. And Philip was one of those Christians who left Jerusalem. He went up to Samaria, and worked among the Samaritans. We're told, multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In fact, so much work needed to be done in Samaria that Philip called back to Jerusalem and asked Peter and John to come and help him. And we're told they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. With this large amount of mission work to do among these Samaritans, these half-breeds, it seems humanly foolish to take the missionary away from the mission work. But that's exactly what the Lord did. The Lord called Philip to go away from Samaria. And can you think of a more unlikely spot, a more unimaginable spot for the word of God to be proclaimed than a deserted road, an uninhabitable road, in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a desert, and the road to Egypt? Philip received this call in a remarkable way. An angel spoke to him and said, "Leave Samaria. Go down to Gaza." When he got there, the Holy Spirit said, "See that chariot? Run up and catch up to it." And so he did. And when he got there and looked inside, he must have been surprised. For there inside was an Ethiopian. He's not a Jew. Up to this point, full Gentiles had not been received into the New Testament Christian church. In fact, way back to the wise men, we don't hear of any Gentiles, at least since Pentecost, that were converted to Christianity. So what's Philip going to do? Just say hi and go on his way? He's going to make small talk and waste some time talking about the weather and how his trip was? He showed interest immediately in this man. And he asked him what he was reading. The man had been reading from the scroll of Isaiah, that 53rd chapter, that beautiful chapter about the suffering servant. Even though this man was a Gentile, he evidently was a proselyte, which means he had been converted to Judaism. He believed in the Messiah. And he no doubt was reading from the Greek translation of the Old Testament, which is called the Septuagint. Without delay, the man then invited Philip up into the chariot. By the time they got done riding in the chariot together, we see a very happy Ethiopian. The Spirit gives us just a brief sketch of what was said during that journey in the chariot. He tells us about three questions that the Ethiopian asked Philip. The first was in response to Philip's question, which was, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The Ethiopian replied and said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And then he read a section of what he was reading out loud to Philip. Then he asked his second question and said, "Of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" And Philip jumped in. And at that point, he began to preach Jesus to him, revealing to him who that suffering servant, who that lamb was, who that substitute was that Isaiah was talking about. No doubt, Philip told him that Isaiah wrote these words 750 years earlier. And it was a prophecy concerning the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And in those verses, we see the very cruel torment and torture that our Savior had to endure. We see his patience. We see his humility. We see his willingness to suffer all these things out of love for his Father. We see his desire to become a substitute, he for us, for every single one of us. We read some of those words again. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Yes, Isaiah was talking about someone else. The only someone other than he who was the Savior of the world. The only Savior, Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ. Now, Philip had no New Testament scripture to point to. and to read, because it hadn't been written yet. And yet here was a ready-made text, right there, in Isaiah. To the searching question of this troubled sinner, Philip proclaimed the message of peace, forgiveness of sins, salvation, everlasting life, to the crucified and resurrected Lord and Savior. He would not let this opportunity pass by without proclaiming the full counsel of God. So, what do you think he said? All we're told is he preached Jesus to him. What would you have said? Well, no doubt he first talked about the man's sins, telling the Ethiopian how sinful we all are, how God the Father still loved us sinful people, that he sent his son, and then no doubt talked about his virgin birth, how the Holy Spirit created Jesus in the womb of Mary, that this Jesus was both God and man in one person, that this Jesus lived a perfectly obedient life throughout his life, performed miracles, preached and taught, was arrested, convicted, condemned, crucified, died to pay for my guilt, the Ethiopian's guilt, sins of the world, rose from the dead, commissioned his disciples to tell all people, ascended to heaven, and promised that he would return in glory. It's no doubt that all of that is summed up in those five words, he preached Jesus to him. And that then leads us to the last question the Ethiopian asked. They're riding along, they passed some water, possibly a little river or maybe a pool of water. And the Ethiopian asked, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? That question wasn't just idle curiosity. It was motivated by the power of the Holy Spirit. For from what the Ethiopian had now learned and been taught by Philip and impressed upon him by the Holy Spirit, he wanted to be baptized for the seal of his faith, for the assurance of the forgiveness earned for him by that suffering servant. And so with faith in his heart, this Ethiopian made a confession with his mouth and his lips that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He was baptized, and we're told he went on his way rejoicing. He was now a happy Ethiopian. Happy because he now understood God's word. Happy because he now believed in Jesus Christ. Happy because he was assured of the forgiveness of all of his sins. This treasurer of the Queen Candace no doubt was quite a wealthy human being. In our 100 Bible stories that I use to have my Bible classes in the nursing homes, the picture is of him in a chair that's covered with gold and has a nice umbrella over his head. I would say it's his air conditioning. He has a nice rich robe. But when he returned home to Ethiopia, he was far, far richer. He no longer was troubled. He no longer was confused. He was now at peace and happy. And what about Philip? We're told he disappeared. The Holy Spirit just took him, transported him to Azotus, many miles away, found himself there, continued to preach the gospel all the way to Caesarea. Before we close this morning's sermon on this text, there's three very important truths that we'd like to lay upon every one of our hearts. The first is we see how important every single individual person is in God's eyes. God led Philip away from the amazing work in Samaria with many, many, many sinners, just to rescue this one sinner, to tell him who that Messiah was, that it was Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. And when you look at your life, you'll see that God does the same thing. He had you born to certain parents at a certain time, or run into certain people at a certain time, to have the Word of God applied to your heart so that you individually were brought to faith in Christ Jesus. Think of the countless billions of people that have existed from the beginning of time till now, 6,000 years of humanity. And God the Father said, I want you, and you, and you, and you, and you, each of you, to know me. And so he made history work out. Said either your Christian parents brought you to baptism, or a Christian friend told you about Jesus, and you now are sitting here also content and happy, having heard the word of God, having been converted to know Jesus. That's amazing. Second thought or truth, Philip did God's work. He went where God wanted him to go. And so when we proclaim the word of God to other people, we're doing the proclaiming, but it's God's work. God is the one who has called us to do that, and he blesses the words that we give. The witness of the Holy Spirit produced fruit in this case. How often hasn't the Lord placed you in a situation where you have the opportunity to do the same thing? Let me ask you the question. Have you eagerly run up to that chariot and spoken to that person and said, do you know what you read in the Bible? Have you ever read the Bible? Do you know what the Bible tells you? Do you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? Have you proclaimed Jesus, preached Jesus to them and told them all about their salvation? Or have we felt uncomfortable and instead talked about weather, politics, sports, the news? When we think of all the people around us that are spiritually starving and spiritually dying of thirst, and we've got that water of life and the bread of life to give to them, how can we not but speak up? And the third truth is, this Ethiopian, we're told, went on his way rejoicing. And you cannot doubt that as soon as he got back to Ethiopia, he told his family, his friends, maybe the Queen Candace herself, about the message of salvation. And probably on the way after he left Philip, he devoured the rest of that scroll of Isaiah, seeing how the rest of his prophecies were fulfilled in that Savior, Jesus. So may we also, this morning, leave our Father's house as happy Americans, rejoicing, filled with joy that God the Father chose you and me to be his children through the power of the gospel message, to bring about our conversion, either many years ago or just recently, to know Jesus. And may we not wait for a persecution, for the heat to be turned up, for us to go out there and tell others about Jesus. For we too, like Philip, have been called, as we see a dying world, we've been called to preach the one message, the only message that saves. And that is that Jesus was crucified, died, and rose back to life again. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.